Tonight we are again on Revelation chapter 12 and hopefully finish verses 7 to 12. And this is a space in the Bible where there is war in heaven. And God revealed to us in Revelation what really will take place in taking Satan out of the hand of the access to the very throne of God. So let's pray. Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. Without your spirit, we have nothing to interpret. So we pray that your spirit will lead us and that we may learn a good lesson, perhaps not knowing many details, but assuring that victory at the end is sure. In Jesus we pray, amen. Now, the war in heaven, that will take place in heaven, is started by the attempt to expel the dragon. And you know, remember verse 9, the dragon is Satan. To expel the dragon and all his angels and his armies out of heaven. Now, we learn the first state of that dragon in Ezekiel. But before I go to Ezekiel, I want to read the verse in chapter 12 and verse 7 in the book of Revelation. The Bible said, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." So we need to know who these people are, I thought, so that we get an idea of what kind of war the Bible is talking here. So I'd like to go to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 28. And there in the book of Ezekiel, we learn the first state of that dragon, you know it's called Satan. And the prophet Ezekiel, I thought, has like a picture view of Satan, and the scripture will mention the king of Tyrus, but that is a surname for the name of Satan. Now look at the first state of these, Ezekiel 28, I start reading from verse 11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me," me as Ezekiel, "saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus said the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God," so cannot be an actual king of Tyrus. That give you the figurative picture. "Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created." So the dragon is created. Satan is not a self-being. Is not like God, who is self-existent. Satan is a created being. Now verse 14. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountains of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." That's Revelation 12 to the very end, that statement. Verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. So we have here a picture of this man, and there is a reason why God dethroned him, and that reason is given in Isaiah. So I encourage you to turn to Isaiah chapter 14. And in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 20, here this same man is called Lucifer and son of the morning. And so let's take a look to Satan in Isaiah chapter 14. Now you saw Isaiah as he was created, beautiful, bright, I mean smart. And rather than using these to the glory of God, he used it to himself. So God said, I will punish him. Now, here is the reason. Here is Isaiah chapter 14 revealed to us what was in Isaiah's heart. All right? Sometimes in people who are very bright, they're very smooth, and here is the reason. Here is something that happened in their heart. Let me read it for you. Verse 14. This is what this man says. I will ascend about, well, let's start from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I exalt thy throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mounts of the congregation in the sights of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the walls as the wilderness and destroy the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall be renowned. Now that gives me the idea when I read Revelation 20, why God will send Satan to hell. He will never have the opportunity to be buried. He will be directly placed into hell for judgment. That's a very important step. Now, I want you to know there's something about Satan. In Ephesians, go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. And if you look with me in Ephesians 2 and in verse 2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. Let me read it for you. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world. Now there is an important statement from the original language. When you say world, you think on the earth. But the Bible used three distinct words for that. One is cosmos. And cosmos is not a star. Cosmos is the political system of this world. There is another word for the stars and the universe. But cosmos, that's the way you pronounce it in Greek, is the system of mankind and controlling the world. And that's the word used here in verse 2, Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of the political system, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so Satan is the god of the political system, not of the world, and I'll tell you why not, of the political system. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians. You are an Ephesians. Go a little bit to 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 4, and in verse 4, and you will see what the scripture says. He is the god of the political system, of the controlling system of the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And whom the god of this world, talking about Satan, hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Look at the beginning. In whom the god of this world, again, the world is cosmos, and is the system, the god of this system. So Satan, he's a god. He's a god of the system, not a god on the earth, that the earth belongs to God. And I want you ever, never think that Satan controlled the earth. Go with me to precious Psalm 24. When you are depressed, you read Psalm 24 and you will be lifted up in what God has control of. In Psalm 24, the Bible said the earth, you see the King James very well distinguished, rather than saying the world, the English use the word earth, the earth is the Lord's. So, and the Bible said, and the fullness thereof. So when you read in the Bible that Satan is the god of this world, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, we understand that he is not the god of this earth. He has no power on this earth, but he has power in the minds of the people that control the universe, the kings and the senates and the presidents and the prime ministers. That's what he controls, the universe. But on this earth, on the vegetation, on the rivers, on the mountains, on the structure of the earth, he has no part whatsoever because he is not the god of it. The earth belongs to God. So he is the god, I said in my paper in point F, he is the god of the world system, using the word world as the political system, and every inhabitant of this earth. So this world system involves business, society, politics. I was talking to a person who is very wealthy and counseling about something, and the person counseled to me about money. And when you listen, you see, number one, I learned how rich is America. How powerful are the rich people in America, and how they control the market and the president. And so it's just fascinating what I learned yesterday in counseling this person about the coming event of the Lord. They want to know, this person. I hope they send me a good offering, because I showed a picture of the church, and I said $3 million, and their eyes don't even move. So I hope that they learn, and I have learned, that this is so truthful. The counseling came so good to me because it came so at the time to learn how the rich and famous think. And they think that they control the whole universe with the marketplace and their money. And that's exactly the world system, the society, the politicians, the religious people. And it's explained in the Bible in a very rough way. In Ephesians chapter 6, if you move your Bible to Ephesians 6, it's explained this power of Satan about the politicians. Remember, he was created beautiful, intelligent, bright, wonderful, and he destroyed himself in the anxiety to be number one. So here in Ephesians 6 and in verse 12, there is a mighty, I'm going to read verse 11 and verse 12, a mighty description in how he operates today in this world. Look at here, Ephesians 6 verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And what kind of wiles of the devils are there? Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, some congressmen, some senators, presidents, making a statement about a decision that is ungodly. And we think, boy, what a terrible decision that man made. Maybe he did not make the decision, the evil spirit in him made it. Look at here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are a group of people in heaven. Against powers, that's another group of angels of Satan. Against rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan invade the hearts of government. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what Satan operates, and that's some people told me not too long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, as I was talking to businessmen, they said to me, what the church needs is 4 or 5 businessmen to bless the church with their money. I said, I will say to those businessmen, keep your money. As a matter of fact, there was one man who wanted to pay for this building altogether and give me the check when we bought it in 1983. I will be famous, it was 18. and give me the $225,000 check to pay. And we paid right at that door. I paid to the realtor and it was our building. But I said to him, Saturday we give back the money. And he said, oh, no. I don't want one man to operate the church. And so we thank the Cassandians, the McCormacks, and all those people who they put 30, 40, 50,000 like nothing. And he was surprised. The next Sunday, I went to vacation to Hawaii, and the church was paid by the people. We were only 12, and we pay it. See, I don't want one person to control the system, because when one person controls the system, you depend on that person, and you don't know who they are. So mighty is he, the man, so mighty is Satan, the man cannot successfully, without God, resist Satan. You know that? If you are at the mercy, you cannot do it, if you are without God yourself. Now, Satan is also a king. Some people said, no, God is a king, but Satan too. Look at chapter 12 of Matthew tell us that Satan is a king. So I'm doing all of this to get you a picture that in Revelation there was a big, big war. Because this man already, by the time the Revelation is written, this man already has in control of the whole universe. In Matthew 12 and verses 24 to 30, Jesus undoubtedly present the case there. Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. And whosoever, Matthew 12, verse 24 to 30. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the Arab name of Satan, the prince of the devils. So they are accusing Jesus that he is delivering people from demons in the name of the devil. Now, demons are individuals who work on behalf of the devil. Verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them. Now, look at what he said carefully. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. In other words, if you fight between yourself, you're going to lose. Verse 26. And if Satan is cast out Satan, in other words, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, if I, Jesus, by Satan's name, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now it's panic to Satan, because he was controlling the kingdom of this world, the people of this world. Now the kingdom of God is coming. No wonder. When Jesus started preaching, you don't have to turn there, in Matthew 4:17, Jesus did not say the gospel, did not say this, did not say the other. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Satan was mad, because he has the kingdom already in the hearts of all these people. And now Jesus came, and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now we're going to have war. And took a long time until the word took place. Verse 29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gather not with me is gathered abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, he's the one who comes and take the people out of the kingdom of Satan, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And so we have there a remarkable picture that Satan then was born beautiful, as we read in Ezekiel. He was born as a man in the instructions of God. He was created, so the scripture, we read it in Ezekiel. And then he was created by the purpose of worshiping God and honoring God. And then we read in Isaiah that he became so proud of who he was, a brilliant man, just intellectually outstanding, that he wanted to take over. I remember those verses we read, I would like to be like God. And then he planned the destruction by working in the cosmos, in the political system, in the science system, in the social system of this world, and controlling all the presidents and kings and senators and congressmen, controlling the entire system of the world until Jesus comes. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Man, from that time on, everybody is against Jesus. Now we are back in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 7, and I want you to see who are the chief commanders of that war in heaven. Verse 7. The Bible reveals who are the general-in-chief, the commander, the opposite commanders. I have a chess game where I have the soldiers from the south and the soldiers from the north pictures, and then you play chess with that south against north. And who is the chief commander? You know, you remember General Lee in America? He was the south commander and so on. So here it is, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon is the other name of Satan. So here is Michael, and here is Satan. Now we learn a lot about the dragon. We know what the dragon is. He's a creative being, is a marvelous being, a super intelligent being. He is has envy, he has desire, superiority to be just nothing less than God. Now, who is Michael again? Who is it? Well, we have to go to the book of Daniel then. And the book of Daniel will tell a little bit about Michael. Daniel chapter 10. If you go to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible describes who is Michael. Daniel 10, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, Satan has his princes, his controllers, his governors, and God has his. Michael was one of the chief princes, one of the rulers of heaven. If you go to Daniel chapter 12, in verse 1, you're going to read that Michael is the great prince which is standard for thy people. And at that time shall Michael, at that time, that's a prophecy about what we read now in Revelation chapter 12. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which is standard for the children of thy people. Now, not only is a prince, he's the great prince. Now, the word in Hebrew is he's the number one prince. Michael is the commander of the princes of heaven, all right? And there shall be a time of trouble. Now, that's very important, talking about the tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, some theological people believe, Harold Lindsay and others, that when the Bible says here, thy people shall be delivered, is the Jewish people. But look, the whole, you don't have to believe me, just keep on reading, and it tells you who they are. And one, the deliver, everyone that shall be found, what? Written in the book of life. That's you and me. Because if not only the Jewish people will be written in the book of life, those who believe, but also, let me show you to understand. Because, that's when you make theology without reading the whole paragraph. And these are big people who made this. Pastor MacArthur, today, as I listened briefly in television, make a big boo-boo in this, saying that there will be a time this and this and the other, and the Jew will reign. He make a big boo-boo. He come from the theology of Plymouth in England, who believe that. But if you go to Revelation 20, remember what Daniel says here. He said, was a nation where that same time, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Now, people said, MacArthur and all these great guys, they said, this is Israel. But it's not, because God qualified who are that people. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And Revelation 20 tells you who they are. All right, Revelation 20, look with me. And at the very end, in verse 15, look at the condition to get to heaven for all of us, not only for the Jew. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Just so important that you know that your name is written in the book of life. And so not only the Jewish people who believed during the Israel kingdom, but after John 1:11, where Jesus said he came unto his son and his son received him not, and then John 1:12 says, but as many as he received, they became children of God, tekna of God, and not the power of man, not the power of society, by the power of God, verse 13. So from that time on, the kingdom of God expanded to the Gentiles, and everyone who goes to heaven needs their name written in the book of life. And so that verse talks about that. Now, going back to Daniel in chapter 10 and in verse 21, the Bible called him your prince. Look at this, chapter 10, verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So not only Michael is a prince in heaven, but Michael is a prince on the protection of his people. He's a ruler of the protection of his people here on earth. I know there are some people who do not believe the angels act today, but I'm one who believes the angels act today on behalf of his people. They don't act at random. They have the organization, like we read in Ephesians 6:12. Remember, I spent two or three sermons on each one of these titles. And Satan has his city and his crew in the second heaven to control the earth. But God, right here on earth, has Michael and his people in a mighty well. Now, in Jude, if you go to Jude verse 9, then you see that Satan is above any individual. Some people say, will you cast this demon on this person and the other? There is no one human being that can cast demons. No one. The scripture tells us one who could. Here is in Jude. Jude is only one chapter. And on verse 9, the Bible said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. So the principality, the principal work of Michael is to keep the body of the believers. When controlling, look at here, disputed about the body of Moses, thus not to bring against him any railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And so when you are head on with Satan, you need Jesus as the only person they can conquer. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I thought in the resurrection, Michael is then the one who controls the body of believers and protect the body of believers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse 16, when we talk about the resurrection time, the Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with shout, with the voice of an archangel. An archangel is a prince, is a ruler prince. So I believe that, the Bible doesn't say it, so don't make quotation, but it's my inspiration of my thought about it, that here the Bible is talking about Michael. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. The Lord doesn't have the voice of an archangel. What's the voice of an archangel? The voice of authority over what he is in charge of. There is an archangel to sound the trumpet, the voice of authority for Jesus to come to earth. There is an archangel. You see, heaven is well organized. It's a perfect controlling. It's a kingdom. The earth never had democracy in heaven. Democracy is Satan's creation to control the world. But kingdom is God's way to control people. And so here's what it is. The voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So I have my thoughts closer and closer to believe that that archangel that came with Jesus is Michael. And he's going to bring this into this. Now, the dragon is cast out of heaven, as we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Now look at verse 8. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. In other words, Satan has no more access, no more place, no more going to heaven. Remember the book of Job? He went to heaven and said, Job believed in you because you gave him everything. He was rich, a billionaire, and that's why you take his good and you take his family and so on. And God allowed this to show the exhibition of God. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, so called the devil and Satan. So look at all the names, which deceived the whole world, the whole world system. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the Bible is very clear about this. Now I want to mention to you, what time is this? Now I don't want to give you a date, but I want to give you an idea. I'm going to keep on reading and you will see. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcome him by what? Again, not by Michael, but by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, by the Bible. And they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, verse 12, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and to the seal of the devil is come, and of the seal of the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. What the Bible means, short time? Well, the Bible divided tribulation in 3.5 years, in 3.5 years, 1,260 days. So I think verse 12 refers to the timing of this casting out. It's just at the beginning of the great tribulation. And I want you to see verse 12 tell us how terrible will be. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in heaven, those believers that already are there, rejoice. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and the seal of the devil is come down unto you. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. This devil is going to be, as we are going to learn later on in Revelation 20, loose for 3.5 years and try to show his power until God finally overcome him, according to Revelation 20, and cast him into the lake of fire forever and ever. See, it's not that Satan will disappear. He's going to suffer the judgment of God. And so it is my peace of mind when I read this scripture. The God is telling me and you, he's saying this, now there will be a time where I said, okay, the end is coming. And I like it, because the dragon knows that there is a, see the end of verse 12? It said, because he knoweth, that the dragon knoweth that he had by the short time. You and I don't know. But the guy is so bright, so close to God, that he knew all the papers in the office, and he knows the details of God, and he knows that when he is cast out of heaven, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, like Daniel said, then is the end of everything. So to me, what this taught to me in practical ways? Well, they taught me that God is in control of the future. He doesn't give me the date one so that I can calculate it. But he gave me short periods of time where he's saying, this is going to happen, and from here to here, this is going to happen. This is going to happen, and from here to here, so many years, this is going to happen. Now, I don't want to be alive at the end of time. It's not yet. People have no idea what the end of time is. The tribulation of this earth is nothing today. As I walk in a restaurant, and you see people paying $70, $80 a plate, $150 a plate. I was taken to a very fine restaurant, $180 a dinner. I said, the people don't know yet what hungry it really is. These people of this earth, they really don't know what it is. We live in mansions, don't we? The time will come where everything we have is going to be gone. And the believers will stand happy because they will love the Lord. Now listen carefully. There will be a time of great deception. And then Satan will try to fight the kingdom of God. Remember, Matthew 4:17, the kingdom of God is at hand. What? I control man, not you. Matthew 12:24-32, I go into the kingdom of Satan and I take people out. You were in the kingdom of Satan. I was in the kingdom of Satan. And God took us out and brought us to light. All the same, rich and poor, Americans, Italians, Philippines, all the same. God walked in and took you out and placed into his kingdom. And so God is showing to Satan that the kingdom of God is strong. But there will be a time where God said, that's it. And Satan will be left out of heaven, with no access to anything except to himself. and he will defeat himself in a mighty way. That's what Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12 said. He knows that there is a short time for him, 1,260 days. What is the message for me? That God is in control. Remember the scripture in the gospel, in the book of Acts. It said, occupy till I come. My work in this earth is not to find when that will happen. My work is to share the gospel. Yesterday, Victor worked hard yesterday to get his booking for you and me on the coming Sunday for the business meeting. And we were talking about the new building and things like that. But we say one thing we want the Lord to know. But yeah, the new building is going to come one day. But we're never going to leave the simplicity of the gospel, whether in the new building or in this building, because that is the heart of our church. We wish to have a new building so people can be hosted in a better way. The ladies can enjoy a better kitchen. We can enjoy a better fellowship hall to eat and so on. Yes, we like. But even if that never happened, I'll be happy because I'm in charge of leading you to Christ, and Christ, and Christ, and Christ's life, and to his love. See, that's what we did. The other will come when God sees necessary to give us the opportunity to do it. All right? But this is where the church missed the boat. And the person who was talking to me said to me, sir, I go to church, and they become an entertainment. They become a museum of things, and they're wasting my money if I give it to that church. I said, well, I don't want to judge any church, but I want to say that the ministry of the church is Jesus, his word. As I look in my records, Pastor Eckmann, Germany was not empowered yet, 1435, the year 1135, Pastor Eckmann in the just close to Holland. He said, if you want revival, the only thing that needs to happen, all the pastors of the world bring the Bible to the pulpit. And there will be a revival. Boy, and at that year, well, I understand the Catholic Church was in power until the year 1500, you remember? And they sell indulgence and things like that and so on. So people of God, rejoice. Christ is in control. Even though the Congress can vote for something crazy. Now learn that Satan in the hearts of these people. So we can pray intelligently. We don't have to pray, Lord, let proposition pass. Lord, change the heart of those people that they believe you. Take Satan out of them that they may change their mind. Now I learned that. That's the way I want to pray. I care less about the number of the proposition. I don't care what they do. The judge who is a homosexual is the one who is going to determine if this is legal or not legal. So God, please, take Satan out of that man. Now, I can say it because Satan is in control of people. Maybe I go to jail if they hear me praying that way. But I tell you, then I pray in jail. All right? So I tell you something. It's so good to know this, so a little bit can help us to live. This is not for you and I to get numbers into our head. This is to get intelligent, how to pray much better. All right? I pray and I take questions. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's so pure and so beautiful. I feel better already, Lord, even though I was exhausted when I started. I feel good that you protected me in a mighty way. In Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Is there any question you have? I don't know if I know the answer, but if you have a question. Oh, who knows? Deborah. All right.
Okay, Deborah. As far as the angel, I know God is in control. Why use the angel? Why the archangel?
Why angels and archangels? Because they obey God blind. They have no choice, like you and me. They God sound and they do it. The angels of God. Okay.
Some people take that and this worship angels, right?
And some people then make angels God. And God never say that. As a matter of fact, there is a place where Peter was acting. Remember, there was a man bitten, Paul was a man bitten by a snake, is going to die. And Paul prayed, the man was healed, and they worshiped him. He said, no, you worship God. So that's what people do. Out of their expression of love, they want to worship, but you only worship God.
Señor King.
My question is, as I understand it, Satan's not yet been cast out of
him. No, yet cast out. That's correct.
And I think the Bible says that he's constantly accusing us before the
throne. Yes, he's causing that trouble.
Only God is omnipresent. So if Satan is in heaven accusing us, how is he also here?
Okay, he's remember that we learned he has angels and a government, Ephesians 6. And so they are bringing information to him. And so he is selective. He's not accusing everybody. He's selective. Example, the book of Job. Selecting a guy who is rich. Now, some people say, oh, it's nice to have money. Now, the only thing is nice to have money if you are willing to give it away. Because if you keep it to yourself, God maybe give you a test. All right? And like he gave the Job, see. But he said he was righteous. Job was righteous. That's at the beginning. But Satan is going to be cast out on the last 3.5 and trying to control the world system here. But now having no access to heaven, he only knows that 3.5 years is dead. That's it. All right? Señorita, señora, excuse me. Satan knows that he's going to be cast out. And the book of James said that Satan knows that he's going to be cast out. He knows. He knows he has an end. He doesn't know the day exactly. You know what? He doesn't know what day, but he knows that there will be a time where he will lose that access. All right? Señorita Tricia, see? Deborah and Tricia. I have it both sides. Boy, it's like a goalie. I don't know where to go.
In verse 8, it says, they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So does that mean that Satan and his devils can go into heaven?
Can go into heaven only on heaven. Now, it is a long time. But how many heavens we have? First King, I think it's First King 8:27. All right? So we go First King. Remember the Solomon's prayer is in First King 8? Yeah. 8:27. He gave us the clue of the composition of heaven by using tremendous Hebrew words. First King 8:27. He gave us the detail of heaven. But will God indeed, this is Solomon's question. He said, I want to make a house. But boy, God dwelling in here? Now he's smart. He knows that God is big. How big should be my house? I don't blame Solomon. So he said in verse 27, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heavens and heaven, that's number two, of heavens, that's the one we breathe, cannot contain this. So there are three heavens, and so Satan have access, but then no, even to the stars heaven will have access. Will be right here on the political arena of the world. And now I can see if Satan from heaven third is controlling, imagine when he's here in person. It's going to be... So people say, don't trust politicians. No, we need to have a politician to be in government and so on. Romans 13 said the governments are of God. But government in itself, let's have a history of government. I was telling to McDonald's came a lawyer, and he said, I know you try to squeeze these people into your church, don't you? He came in, you know, and I don't say anything. So what do you want to know? He said, well, what the Bible say about government? Oh, that's very simple. And what was the first government of the entire world? God. In Exodus 28, God instituted the government, the tabernacle. You come to the tabernacle, you ask God what I should do. All right? And boy, is it that good? Look at how good it was. They were, the whole nation was in jail in Egypt, and the whole nation walked away. And so we have a chance to look on it in the scripture. All right? So then when the nation became strong, what they want? So we want a king like the Egyptians, they said the Bible. Now that was a downgrade. That was Satan in the hearts of people. You don't want God to rule you. You want me to rule you. And so God said, oh, you want it? I give it to you. Who was the first king? Saul. He was good looking, like Pastor Otero. He was nice and tall, the Bible said, and it's okay. And everything, you know, but he was evil, all right? God rescued with a tiny little boy, David, rescued Israel. But I tell you, the government of this world came degrading. Then we came democracy. Democracy is just business. It's not really good. What is good is to have a godly king who said, this is what God said, this is what we do. But we lost that. No longer we have that because man's choice was, we don't want God to rule us, we want them. When God ruled them, look at what happened. They get out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea and dry land. They went into Kadesh Barnea, and they went into Israel and kicked everybody out because God was with them. We read it right here. Darlene read it last Wednesday about God said, I will fight for you. Tremendous. So in answer to your question, it is impressive that those years will come and people will notice the feel of Satan control in this world. But until now, we have a good. All right? Any other question? Sorry for the time, but it's good to study. Now, this is what I understand. I send it to England, and I have beautiful emails saying, now we take a second look at this man, Dr. Hans, in University of Oxford. We take a second look into God's affairs on this world. Say, thank you, Dr. Otero. I was so rewarded. He's not saying he agreed. He said, but we're going to take a second look. The university will take a second look. I hope he's not listening. Okay, university. Well, it's too late for him to listen. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. But I tell you, it's just so good. Now, I want to tell you something that he said to me in another email. He said, Mr. Camping has printed books and books and books about the end, and is very famous in England. Every university studied the writings. He said, we're going to put your writings in every university in contradiction of what he said and see what happened. You know, university, they like what they call debates. He said, your book will be a good debate book against Mr. Campbell. Right there in England, I can't believe it. But I want to let Mr. Campbell know, you and I are fighting in England for the people of God. All right, praise the Lord. All right. God give you a good week. Pray for me that my health recover as I go to the gym tomorrow and move on. Without the gym, you feel lousy, don't you? All right. Thank you. God bless you. Those who are listening, God bless you. Thank you for listening. It's very late in your place. Go to sleep. All right. Good night.